Thank you for your faithfulness, and hopefully you guys can stay awake. Those tacos were a little bit heavy with the beans and the rice and the salsa there. How many of you had some jalapenos? Did they have jalapenos? There you go, and you will pay for that later on. So anyhow, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we have handouts. Well, I already gave you guys a handout, but we have some more handouts to give you here. Ushers, if you can pass those out, I would appreciate that so you can follow along. I won't be long. I think pastor's watching here. You guys had a big meal, and I've had a big meal. I shouldn't have eaten, but those tacos as I walked up were kind of irresistible. And that smoke coming out of that Santa Maria grill was a little bit tempting. The smoke getting on that nice thin piece of carne asada that's been chopped with love and minced up on that taco with a little bit of the onion and the cilantro, and then also the salsa there on the side of rice kind of pulled me in, and I could not. The spirit truly was ready, but the flesh was weak, and I partook, and now I'm a little bit full here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you just bless these next couple 15, 20, 30 minutes we have together here. Lord, may you help us, Lord, to understand and realize the importance of the subject matter. Help us to learn and help us to be blessed because of it, because we've obeyed and we've applied your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are some things that cannot be taken out of God's divine order. God has divine order in seasons: winter, spring, summer, fall. I love the winter. There's snow. I love the spring. A lot of rain. I love the summer, and I love the fall. I love all of it. I used to live in the East Coast. I lived in the Midwest where we actually had seasons. The leaves would turn orange or yellow, and they will fall, and then everything else, everything would be bare, and then the snow would come. Here in California, we're probably pretty much like this just about all year. But God has divine order to season. The seasons don't appear randomly. They're always in order. God has order in day and night, yeah, or time. The sun comes up at the same time, and then after the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and the moon appears, and the stars appear because it's nighttime, and then the next day, the same thing happens. There is order to the Lord. God has designed everything with order. Man's physical development, nobody is born and all of a sudden they're a grown man or a grown woman. There's order to that. You're born, you're an infant, you're go to childhood, and then adolescent, and finally adulthood, and later on after your adulthood, you get a little bit older, and you pass on, and you go to heaven if you're saved, and you become, you go to heaven with the Lord. God has a order in man's physical development. God has order in man's social life. And by the way, I can't wait for these young people to get married. I love it when young people fall in love. They date the right way and they court the right way, and they have go to a wedding date, and then they get married, and then they have children, and they have a family. That is amazing. But man has a social life. First, you court, you date, you see that young lady, or you see that young man, and then you might, man, I've never noticed that person. I kind of, before, you know, when you're younger, in junior high maybe, the girls had cooties, and all of a sudden, you get out of that cootie stage, and you talk to a girl, and you get tingle a little bit, like, whoa, I just felt something there, and it just feels different. And there's a social life, and then you see the one. Yesterday, we went to on a little outing with my family and some people, and I think one of the kids in the car asked me how my wife and I first started courting. I said, well, Pastor Myers asked me, at that time he was Brother Steve, asked me, hey, why don't you ask Somali out for a date? And I said, okay, I'll be happy to. I was a senior in college. I was courting at that time. I was committed to courtship. And they asked me, well, what is courtship? What's committing to courtship? I said, courtship is deciding that you would not date or you would not get involved in the person of the opposite gender until you're ready to pursue a relationship where you're financially, spiritually ready for that commitment there. And I was a senior in high school. A senior in college. I kind of knew what I was doing. I was getting hired here at the church. And I remember going to Pastor Esposito, talking to him. And I remember asking my wife at that time, just Somali, asked her out for my first date. And I said, Somali, Brother Steve and Miss Alma are going to go bowling with me. And I was wondering if you would join us. Afterwards, we'll have some dinner. And she looked at me and she says, yeah, I would love to. And we went and she beat me in bowling. Okay. She broke the rule of dating. When you go with a guy, you let the guy win. She said, I try to let you win. I did my best, but it just did not happen. I'm a horrible bowler. So we took our next date and we went to, golfing. We went, and she, afterwards, she told me that she tried to let me win again, but again, you know, golfing is not a sport that I am very good at, and I didn't really care about the winning. I just wanted to be with this new young lady that I'm trying to get to know here. I knew her, but she beat me again, and after that, I said, you know, I'm going to get my game face on. There's no more. And then we boxed. I beat the fire out of her. So I'm kidding. You know, you have that courtship part. And then, you know, I would write her a letter and I'd say, hey, I really like you. And then you go from that like, Brother Dan, to that I love you stage where it's getting close. And I remember, you know, I said, I love you to her. And then I asked her to marry me. I got engaged and then we got married 20 years ago this past July 7th. So it was right there. But that's man's social life's order. You court, you fall in love, and then you get married. And after you get married, you have children. Usually that's how it is. Society is a little bit different now. Culture is a little bit different now where you date or you court and then you might not even fall in love. You might not even get married, but you have children. And mom and dad are not mom and dad anymore. It's my baby's mama or baby's daddy. And just because culture does that doesn't mean we as Christians follow that. You know, they've messed up that divine order God has placed and God has ordained for a couple that needs to have the right type of relationship. I'm all for guys and girls liking each other because I don't want guys and guys to like each other. I tell our young people, if you like girls, great. I tell our guys, great. I want you to like girls. But not pursue a relationship right now. It's natural. It's natural like the person of the opposite gender. It's natural. Brother Joseph's daughter, she's thinking about her honeymoon already. Lydia, right? Lydia, thinking about her honeymoon. She said, she's a whopper over here. She said, I want to go to Hawaii for my honeymoon. I was like, my soul. Whoever's going to marry her needs to start saving up right now. You know, I got enough money for Compton. But man's social life is that courting, falling in love, getting married, and then having children. In any part of God's order, if any part of God's order is missed or taken out of sequence, ruin will result. Yep. Attempting to speed up God's plan will end up in disaster. You see a young person that doesn't want to live their adolescence, they want to be adults, an adult, and they try to act like a... By the way, teenagers enjoy being a teenager. Enjoy it. Enjoy having a good time. Enjoy playing sports. Girls enjoy going to games. Guys enjoy basketball and football. Enjoy all of that. You're not going to get those days back. Yep. It's not going to come back. I try to play basketball right now. And I think I can still do it, but my body tells me different. Yeah. You know, I'm going over there playing with some the teenagers over here sometimes, or we go to the park. I'm trying to cross them over. The only person falling is me. And nobody's crossed me over. And you don't get that time back. Attempting to speed up God's plan will end up in disaster. There's a girl who fell in love and she wanted to get married, and that's okay to get married, but make sure it's in God's timing and make sure you do it right. She got married straight out of high school to the man of her dreams. Got married, had a child, and she looked back and she missed out on those things of hanging out with some friends and doing things as a young adult. And sooner or later, they went back, and she said, "Hey, you know what, I want to go hang out with the girls again." And once you're married, you don't hang out with the girls again. Guys, once you get married, it's not just the guys again, it's your family. There's no hanging out with the boys. I remember I was sitting at a restaurant with a young man, and we were talking about marriage, and he was having some marital problems. And he said, "You know what, we got married early, Brother Nate, and we missed out." He said, "I missed out on dating other people." He said, "I missed out on, you know, doing stuff as a young adult. And right now I want to take advantage of that." He said this. He had the audacity to say this, Brother Jerry. He said, "Right now I want to just, you know, tell my wife she can date some other guys, and I want to date some other girls and just separate a little bit, and then we can come back." And I looked at him. I said, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard."
Yep.
The stupidest thing of, by the way, this guy's listening to somebody and he's watching something. God has a divine order, by the way, in our financial lives. Man ought to work, then enjoy the fruits of their labor. I try to teach my children, work now, play later. A lot of kids, they want to play, and they don't want to work. I'll just put that aside. You know, if we work now, we can play later on. And we can just do your homework now, and you don't have to stress out all night. And you can do the fun things.
Yeah.
But man ought to work, then enjoy the fruit of his labor. God has this order in our financial lives. By the way, we just came back from I Love My Church Sunday, and some of you decided, "Man, I want to tithe," or "I've never tithed," or "I want to prove God I want to tithe," or "I've stopped tithing, I want to continue tithing." And you see, America is in a slew of debt. My soul. People, Christians and non-Christians, they don't know how to control their money. God has a divine order in our financial lives. Following God's order is crucial, church, for financial freedom. You know why we had a church that gave and committed close to $600,000? Because we have people that love God. And by the way, we don't only have people that love God, we have people that are financially sound and not make a lot of money, but you know how to control your money. And it's vital as a Christian to learn how to control your money. Some of you are about to get married here. Dan, you're about to get married here. Isaac, you're about to get married. Darlene, you guys are about to get married here in a little bit. You've got to get this thing nailed in the butt. Just learn how to control your finances right now. Remember, it's not the amount of money you make, it's how you control it. Having more money doesn't create financial freedom and God's blessing on your life. Learning how to control what you have is the key to having financial freedom in your life. You have to learn those financial principles. I know a lot of people that make a lot more money than I am, that I'm making, and they have more things, but debt-wise, they're in a lot greater debt. And there's so much strain in that marriage, in that young marriage, you guys getting married here, because of finances. And you that's been married for a long time, there's so much strain. When you come home, you want to kiss your wife or you want to kiss your husband, but you can't because there's bills that rack up and you can't pay it. And people are calling you and you try to avoid it. As a Christian, we can't live life like that. We got to have some financial stability. You say, "Well, what's the secret to financial stability?" There's no magic spell. I remember sitting there as a young person, Pastor Esposito was preaching. I was a teenager and I tried to, you know, I didn't even have a job. I worked for a pastor. He paid me $50 a month. And I told him, "I don't need any money. I want to work here as a volunteer." He said, "No, I'll pay you $50 a month. So if you do something bad, I don't feel bad getting on you." I said, you get on me anyways. I work for free. But, you know, I worked for Pastor Esposito, and $50 a month, but I sat there and listened when he was preaching. And he gave CDs, and at that time, started tapes. Yep. Learned about finances as a young person. And I'm not the best in finances or anything like that, but let me say this. If you get your finances down, church, you'll be a lot, you have a lot more freedom, a burden lifted off your chest. But where does it start? What is the prerequisite of financial freedom? What do we have to do as a steward? A steward is somebody that takes care of other people's property or other people's things. We have to understand that the finances that we have and the things that God has given us, our children and everything like that, we're not the owners. We're just stewards of what God has given us. And we've got to steward it right. Many people have the false concept of spending first in finances than going to work to pay for their bills. By the way, the one thing that probably has killed a lot of Christian, not physically, but messed them up, is this little plastic right here, the credit card. And that's just because you have a piece of plastic doesn't mean you have money. Okay, they're not rich, and new credit card companies don't keep popping up because they're losing money. Because they have people that all they do is charge, and what they do, they have to pay that interest, and they pay that minimum, and you're gonna pay until Santa comes home. And Santa's not real. Sorry, kids. The prodigal son spent before he learned how to work. He ignored God's order of finances and ended up starving in the pig's pen. So what do you do? What are some prerequisites of a good steward of financial freedom? Probably the biggest word that I can help you to have financial freedom in your life is this. It's a four-letter word. That word is called work. Work. Without work, you're not going to have financial freedom. Yeah. Without work, you're not going to get anywhere in life, by the way. If we live in a welfare mentality that says, you know what, somebody else is going to take care of me, you are going to have a big surprise in your life. Because nobody's going to take care of you. You depend on God, and God has given you health, and God's given you the ability to work. Work. Yeah. Number one there real fast, work is biblical. Work is not a concept where, you know, some capitalist people say, yeah, I'm going to do this. No, work is biblical. First, I have financial freedom. It can only be found in the word work. God is a worker. John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said this, I must work the work of him that sent me. While yet day, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus Christ was a worker. He didn't sit around and just, you know, lay in bed or watch, you know, whatever it is and just be entertained. He's the King of Kings. He came and he worked. Yep. He washed the feet of his disciples. Yep. He went out and he did work. By the way, let me say this, parents. Teach your children how to work. Make them earn things. Don't just give them everything. Learn, make them learn how to work and make them learn how to work hard. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. That's work, the heavens and the earth. The word work first appears in the King James in the second chapter and second verse of Genesis. Interestingly enough, work appears two times in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. God is a worker. The first reference in the Bible includes the word work that pertains to a job for a man also occurs in Genesis chapter 2. God was not only a worker, he wanted us to work. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to enjoy life. No, that's not what it says. And to keep it. There was work. Work had to be done. God created man in his own image. Part of the image that God desires is that all men have to be employed and have to work and have to work hard. By the way, work is good. Eden was a paradise, but in order for it to stay that way, it needed a caretaker. Whatever you do and whatever, if you don't put work into it, it's going to die a natural death. Your home, your marriage, your child rearing, whatever it is, if you don't put into it and if you don't work hard at it, it's going to die. Yeah. It's going to mess up. Adam needed a job, and God knew that for him to be fulfilled, he had to work. Man, let me say this. You won't be fulfilled staying home doing nothing.
Come on.
Ladies, work. I'm not saying you have to go out and have a job in the secular world. No, no, work. Be a worker at home and learn how to take care of that home. Learn good recipes to cook for your family and clean and take care of that family. Eden would be lost in paradise if Adam was not challenged physically, intellectually, and creatively in his job as a caretaker. You know what makes a good principal? You know why we have a good school? Because we have a brother Chim that works. You know why we have a good church and a church that's growing and a church that pretty much started from out of nothing? Because we had a Pastor Esposito that worked. And you know why we have this building right now? We sit in a nice building and it's air conditioned and we just had youth conference. People came and were like, wow, this is amazing. It didn't just poof happen. There's people that worked. People that worked. Work is biblical. Work is biblical. Not only that, number two, work is historical. The word work is becoming obsolete in many homes in America. But that wasn't always the case. You know, most students look forward to summer vacation. I mean, man, the students' school is out. Yay! I can't wait to go camping. I can't wait to go on vacation and Disneyland and Six Flags. And we're going to go do this and we're going to go do that. And by the way, have fun, do that. But back in the day, that wasn't why we had summer vacation.
Yeah.
Summer vacation was taken not for a time out of school, but a time to help their parents harvest the crops.
Yeah.
That's why they had summer vacation. They dismissed school so the students will go back to their family's home and help bring in the crops. Over 100 years ago, little Johnny, little Tommy, went from studying school to bringing in a harvest. There's no malls, there's no games, there's no amusement parks, there's no nothing like that. They worked. Even though they did not have all these things, by the way, they didn't have all these, the internet, and they didn't have, you know, social media. These kids learned how to work.
Yeah.
And because of that, we had better citizens. We had productive citizens. We didn't have people running in demanding a free meal. We had people rioting and saying, you know what, you owe us. By the way, we live in America. Nobody owes me anything.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed, I'm not white. Okay? I'm not white. We came here as refugees. We came here poor. My family was on welfare. We came poor. But we didn't stay like that and say, man, you know what? I'm just going to stay like this. And you know what? The poor is me. I'm just, you know, I'm a nobody. I'm brown skin. No. God has instilled in us to work. Work, work was historical, work is biblical. Number three, work is essential. It's important to work. It's essential that we work. The only alternative to not working is laziness. God has used almost everything that you can think of. He's used an animal. He used people that were wicked, if you will. He used almost everything and anything. But if you look in the Bible, he's never used a lazy person. Work. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9. 6 days thou shalt labor and all do all thy work. We have we live in a lazy day when people want things handed to them.
Yep. Amen.
Oh, you need to pay me back from all the stuff. My great grandfather, great, 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 great. Good night. We're not there anymore.
Come on.
Okay, I'm not asking for anything from you know, Pol Pot. It happened. It's unfortunate. But this is where we live now. We can work. We don't have to sit back and say, I can't do anything. We can do something.
Amen.
It's essential. God instructed us not to just work, but work hard. 6 days shall a man work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if we don't work, don't eat. Don't work, don't eat. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of you. It's not the government's responsibility to pay for your education. It's not the government's responsibility to give you food. It's not the government's responsibility to shelter you. It's your responsibility. With God's help, you can do it. By the way, if you depend on the government to help you and to shelter you and to feed you, they are your masters.
Yep.
We have to rely on God. The Bible still says, my God shall supply all your needs according to your according to his riches and glory. The Bible says he's never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. The only reason I know sometimes God tries us and sometimes God does things, but he will never leave us forsaken.
Amen.
Work. It is your God-given responsibility. Get a job and work hard at that job. Let me say this, Pacific Baptist Church. You go work in the secular world, wherever you work, you ought to be the hardest worker that they have.
Amen.
I love soul winning. I love witnessing to people. But during work, that's not a time to witness to people and talk and have Bible study. You're there to work. Do it at break time. Do it at lunchtime. Okay? Work. You ought to go to work the earliest and get out the latest and work the hardest because you represent Christ.
Amen.
Number four. Oh, man. I got to finish here. Work is hard. Work is hard. Let me give you these. I need to get done here. Work is hard. When Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying God, they're expelled from the Garden of Eden. In addition to losing their home in paradise, Adam and Eve and the serpent each received a curse. Adam's curse involved his job. Working was not a curse. His job would be harder. Before, the soil would bring forth a plenty, and he didn't have to. It wasn't rocks, and it wasn't hard. But when he sinned, work became hard. Work is never a curse. Now we have to work hard. Don't be scared of hard work.
Amen.
Teach your boys, don't be scared of hard work. Go dig a ditch. Get dirty. We don't have to stand there and look all pretty to work. Learn how to work. Teach your girls how to scrub a toilet. We've had people that come to our church, and I said, hey, I remember a guy who's an adult. I said, here's a mop bucket. Can you teach these kids how to mop? Later on, he came to my office. But Jim, and he said, hey, Brother Ross, can I ask you something? He said, how do you mop? Bible college graduate. I said, are you kidding me? You've never mopped in your life? He said, no, I've never mopped. Teach your boys how to work hard. Number five, work is profitable. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lip tendeth only to penury. The word penury there means extreme poverty. Not just regular poverty, extreme poverty, destruction. In labor, there's profit. And that's why I try to teach my kids, the more you talk, the less you work. We stand there talking, talk, the less we work. Let's zip up and work. Not all labor will produce income, but all labor produces profit. I worked around here at the church for a long time before I got paid anything. You say, well, as a young person, Pastor, I need somebody to strip and wax the floor. We were poor at our church. I didn't know they had a chemical that stripped floors. You know, the floors that you wax. You know how we stripped floors before? Pastor would give us some comment and a green scrub. That's how cheap we were or how poor we were back in the day. And we had tiles, those vinyl tiles. He says, guys, you have these 10 tiles right here. Throw the comment on there, get the green scrub head, and scrub all that wax off. You know, he was like Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. And that's what we're doing. And as we got older, we're thinking, you know what? I can go to Smart and Final, some janitorial store, and they have something called stripper. and you put it on a mop and you just mop it on and you keep it for a minute and then you mop it off. You could use a little machine. Well, we couldn't afford a machine back then, but we had a lot of teenagers. It was called manual labor. We had a good time. As a teenager, I learned how to frame a wall. As a teenager, I learned how to do things and paint and to go to youth conference. I didn't, my mom, she was poor. She didn't couldn't pay for me. I went to paint apartments. Painted, and we went to go do yard work and clean and learn how to work as a teenager. I didn't get paid a lot, but you know what? Not all work produces income, but all work produces profit. Yeah. Profit can be in the form of money, can be of some kind of experience. I learned how to work. Much of what I learned from watching and helping people. Work is profitable. Number six, I got two more here, I'm out of time. Work is beneficial. Work is beneficial. The joy that that work brings comes from the sense of accomplishment at the end of your labor. You know, when this building was done, I remember coming in here, and I would walk in here by myself. And I remember coming in here crying, walking through here, thinking about the sacrifice of our people. How so many people, I remember digging. I remember digging the foundation for this thing. And pastor said, all right, guys, we got to save money. You staff guys, we got to go dig holes. He said, you have this many holes, you have this many holes. I said, great. I thought I signed up to preach the gospel. But you know what? That's part of it. Whatever my pastor wanted me to do, I was doing it. Come on. We came to do it. And we did it. And the next, that night it rained. And next week, hey guys, we're doing it again. And the stinking thing rained again. And I remember we had this these cages. And I don't know who had that idea. I want to go and beat the guy up. Pastor said, hey, we have to take these brushes and we have to take all the rust out. And we're sitting there, you know, we didn't wear a mask or anything. There was no N95. There was just nothing, 95. You know, we're just breathing it in and taking it out. I'm thinking in my head, why in the world am I doing this? This is just crazy. I remember Brother Vong, I'll tell this story. He was in Cambodia. He said, man, I'm so glad I don't have to mess with the building anymore. I'm in Cambodia now. And then our team in Cambodia bought some property and they built. And then I called him. I said, Sarah, how's it going? Who's in charge of the building? He said, me. I said, God has a good sense of humor. He said, tell me about it. He said, I left this so I won't have to mess with the building. Here am I doing the building. I said, God, just he gives you the right work. The work is beneficial. And then lastly, work is third place. Work is third place. Work is biblical, essential, profitable, and beneficial. God created us all with the need to work. But if you have a family, the highest priority that you can have is your walk with God, your family, and then work. Work does not go above your family. Work does not go above the Lord. Let me say this. I love being in the ministry. Okay. But if my family needs me, I'll give Pastor a call and say, hey, Pastor, look, I need to take a couple of days off. I need to take my family. I need to spend time with my family. And he'll let me do it. You say, why? Because work is third place. Now, all our staff members, none of us in here are lazy. They work hard. They work hard. But if any time we think that our work is taking us away from our family, we got to readjust and say, you know what? Let me get back to my family here. Let me get back to my relationship with God. Men, we need money to survive, yes. We need to pay our bills, yes. But let me say this. Work is not first place. Be careful. Oh, you know what? I'm a miss here because I need to work overtime and I need to buy stuff and I need to pay for this nice vacation. Instead of just spending, you know, quality time, you need to spend quantity time with your family also. Yeah. Don't live at work. Work, I remember sitting with some young people that they're about to step out and got a new job and about to do this career in their life, and I said, "Hey guys, look, your job is not your life. If you make your job your life, that's when you're going to mess up.
Yep.
Go to work, work hard at that job, but your first priority is the Lord, and your after the Lord is your family. Men, you have little ones at your house. Make sure they grow up with a dad that's home. Make sure you spend time with them. All we do is we work and work, and some people are workaholics, and you know what? It's good to work. But work is not top priority. Work is just there so we could provide for our family, so we could do the will of God. Let's work hard and let's work smart. As Christians, the thing that's going to help us get into financial freedom is work and working hard. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, Lord, and we pray, Father, that you help us to work hard as Christians. Lord, we pray that you help us to be the best workers we could be and honor you with our time, but help us to remember that work, even though it's essential, it's beneficial, it's all those things, but work is third place, Lord. We have to continue to put you first place in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.